Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 230, featuring Victor Hugo, not the famous French novelist who passed away many years ago, but the absolutely incredible character artist and designer from São Paulo, Brazil. And he came to Total Chaos 2019 to be part of our amazing conference. I first met him over at THU a long time ago, and it was really great to finally sit down with him and do this podcast. We've actually been trying to do a podcast for years, and this time we actually made it happen. And it's really great. I actually am glad that we were able to wait, because a lot has happened during the time that we first tried to do it and what's happened now. So he's got a really great story. He loves doing freelance work. He loves doing character work. And he's just a really cool guy. He's worked over at Disney for a while, and he's done work for places like Blur and all kinds of places. So really great to have him and to share his story. I really encourage you guys to listen to it and tell us what you think, because I think it's really cool. So thank you so much, Victor, for coming to Total Chaos and to share your backstory with everyone on the big stage. Besides that, I don't really have any big announcements, since last week. I did write a very short little blog article, by the way, about, V-Ray Next for 3DS, for 3DS Max update 2. There's been a lot of updates on that and that you probably should go check out if you guys haven't done that. I'm just going to list a couple of them here. Obviously, we've added the IPR debug shaders that we had in 3DS, Max for Maya into Max, which is great. We've added a whole bunch of color control controls that can be done right from the V-Ray frame buffer, but also right inside of the viewport. Done a bunch of changes to lens effects. We can do all kinds of stuff in the, you know, if you want to do post lens effects in the frame buffer, added dust and scratches to lens, all kinds of artifacts. It's kind of really interesting what we were able to do there. We've added a robust memory tracking system so that you guys can see exactly which assets are using what kind of memory and what part of the memory, you know, if it's the textures or the geometry or the shading. So that's really interesting. The V-Ray Tune Shader. So that's been really cool. That's been very popular in our version for Maya, V-Ray for Maya. But now it's been added to 3D, V-Ray Next for 3DS Max. Bunch of GPU stuff that we've added. We've added the V-Ray distance texture to the V-Ray GPU, as well as the, thank you very much, the AL surface shader is now available for V-Ray GPU, and it looks great. So I'm very excited about that. We've also done a huge amount of changes to the lighting system, including the ability now to do our adaptive lights have been changed quite significantly. And so light cache has been improved a great deal. And we're able to render thousands and thousands of lights with very little hit on the render time. So that's kind of an awesome thing. All right. That's the only real announcements I have. All I'm going to say is hopefully you guys are still enjoying this podcast. If you are and you haven't rated us yet on iTunes, we would love that. So go to iTunes, give us a review. Give us 5 stars if you feel that we deserve it. Let us know what you think. You know, if you guys have other ideas of other podcasts, obviously we're always willing to listen to that. Don't forget, you can just email us labs@chaosgroup.com. You can also go on social media and find us there. CG Garage Podcast is the Facebook page for that. And so, that's basically the big social media page we have for the thing. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy this fabulous podcast with Victor Hugo.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
So I am excited that you're here in Sofia, being able to do the... I don't care about your talks. I just care about this podcast.
This is like what matters.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. No, I'm kidding. Of course your talks are amazing. And what's actually incredible is I think the first time I saw you talk at THU might have been one of the first times you spoke on a stage, right?
Yes. And I believe it was like the second time I was like not speaking Portuguese.
Right.
So that was like, I was double nervous about that because I remember that for example, the word like character, mm-hmm. I used to say like character.
Character.
Yeah.
You put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Yeah.
And I was really, really nervous. I remember we went on the second year in second TAGU, right?
I did. I've been it to everyone since then.
Yeah. The second one was like my first one as a freelance.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it was like, because on the first TAGU, I went as for a company,
uh-huh.
for Techno Image, a company in Brazil. I was to work.
Mm-hmm.
And TAGU like made my mind to become a freelance. Like was on like the turning points.
All right. Well, that's sort of the middle of the story. So let's start at the beginning of the story.
Okay.
Okay. So how, what got you doing what you're doing?
Okay. That was totally an accident. I never planned to be an artist. No.
Really?
No, not at all. Not at all.
What was your plan?
To be a history teacher.
A history teacher?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like my dream job.
Your dream job to be a history teacher.
Yeah. So I went in Brazil, like you have to do like a test to get into college.
Yeah.
Public college, of course. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the money, you have to do a test.
Right.
And I never was like the most like smart student at all.
Okay.
So I did the test. I haven't passed. So I need to raise money for college.
Okay.
So I got it. When I was like 13, mm-hmm. pretty early the test, the mm-hmm. college mm-hmm. test, mm-hmm. my dad, I used to play like video games, and my dad got me a demo version of the 3DS Max.
Okay.
It's like, oh, people that do the games you play, they do, they use like this software.
Right.
Why don't you try it?
Okay.
I tried it. I totally hated it. I was like, this is terrible. This is like so complex. I'm never going to make money with that.
Right.
And after the test,
uh-huh.
I was looking for a job, and uh-huh. I saw like this position for like 3D operator. That was the title.
3D operator.
Operator. Yeah. Okay. I was like, okay, I think I remember a thing or two. Uh-huh. Let's do that. Let's go there and do the interview.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, the company was like so like new about stuff. They didn't even ask about like portfolio.
Okay.
They just like asked, do you know 3D? I said, yeah, sure.
Right.
And they said, okay, you start next week.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. Like easy like that.
Okay. So what year was this about?
Oh, 2001.
Right. So that's because there weren't that many people. So if you could open the software, you were hired.
Yep. And the funny thing is, like, they asked me, like, can you start, like, tomorrow? I said, no, I need a week.
Okay.
Because I need to, like, see the things on my old job.
Right.
I didn't have a old job.
Okay.
I asked that week to learn, to relearn 3DS Max.
Right. Like, I got to tie up some loose ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you really just went in and you started learning Max.
Yeah. I remember that I'd, like, into that site, 3D Total.
Yeah.
I read a single and every tutorial about 3DS Max.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
And after that, I started as a junior modeler,
uh-huh.
modeling furniture.
Uh-huh.
It was like...
What company was this 3D operator position for?
Oh, it was for an Arcfiz company.
Arcfiz company.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They are looking for like a modeler for, because at the time they didn't have like catalogs like we have today.
Right.
Like Evermotion and things like that. They didn't exist. So they are looking for people to model like a catalog for them.
Okay.
And that's when I got my position.
Like. So you started modeling furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only modeling. I didn't do any like loop dev and that kind of thing.
When you did it all in Max?
Yes.
Okay.
3DS Max 8, I think.
2000. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it was 8. 8 or 6, I don't know.
Could have been 6.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And after that, I worked there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in Brazil, I don't know how it is today, but at the time, like, Arcfiz was really, like, closed-minded. I don't know if that was.
Yeah, like, okay.
For example, if the client asks for like a yellow wall, you can't like put like it can't be affected by lighting.
Okay.
Yeah. So doesn't matter if you have like a really warm lighting on the environment, the wall needs to be yellow.
So even if you have a green grass carpet and the GI bounces up.
No, GI, no.
Right.
There's no such thing as GI.
Okay. Right.
But they want to rip, like, hyper-realistic, but...
Not actually anything to do with reality.
Yeah. It was really, like... Oh, it was a torture.
Right.
Because at the time, like Mura said, like, I want to be a history teacher.
Yeah.
I started to enjoy what I was doing with like, 3D.
Okay.
I really liked to enjoy it. And I started to, like, to grow, like, this artistic perception mm-hmm. about what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I saw, like, okay, it's like questioning things.
Right.
Like, the grass, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is wrong.
Right.
It would bounce, you know, the light would bounce.
Right.
Nope. The client doesn't want that.
Okay.
And... The company grew a lot. When I started, it was like 6 to 8 people.
Okay.
To the artists. When I left the company, it was like 18, 80.
80?
Yeah, 80.
From 6 to 80 in what, 2 years?
In 3 years.
3 years.
3 years and a half.
Woo.
Yeah. Like the, it was like the construction boom. Like
right. Yep.
In Brazil.
Yep. In São Paulo.
In São Paulo, to be more precisely. Like, there's every corner they look, there was like a new building.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of demand. And I was really tired of like this limitation. And mm-hmm. I decided to quit. I was in a good position over there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like supervising like 2 departments.
And, right.
Animation and external like environments.
Yeah.
And I quit.
Okay.
And I quit because I wanted to look for something like that could like explore this art, like the art part of the 3D.
Right.
And I remember because I was like the youngest person on the department, like on the company.
Okay.
I was the youngest one. Yeah.
Right.
And people were like always like, "Oh, you are so young, so talented," you know, mm-hmm. just like. Like, inflate your ego.
Right, yeah.
And was like super confident. That, okay, I'm the like CG messiah.
Right. I'm on demand. Everyone wants me. So
yeah.
I can quit my job and I'll have a job immediately. Right?
Yes.
Did that happen?
No. Oh. I got a job on a advertising studio.
On a what studio?
On the called ZX.
Okay.
Yes, Brazilian like focus on advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there on the first day. I wanted to quit.
Really?
Yeah, because it was so like okay. I can't do that. It's too hard for me.
Okay.
Like too complex. I'm not prepared.
Okay.
And Marcos, the owner, he said like, wait, stay a week with us.
Okay.
We can teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but don't freak out.
Okay.
It's normal. You came from another background.
Right.
And I stayed there for a week. And that week became a month, and I stayed there for 3 years.
So what were you doing there? What kind of work were you doing there?
Look dev and rendering.
Okay.
I was most focused on look dev.
And rendering?
And rendering. Okay. Like lighting and that stuff.
For what kind of projects?
Pack shots, food.
Okay.
Like bottles, all that kind of stuff. Like was
So food, products. Stuff.
Products, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, products in general. Some like crazy ideas from some art directors, but most like 90% of the work, products.
Right.
Plus rendering.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was cool because I learned a lot about like hyper realistic rendering.
Right.
Because there was like to be super, super, super. My boss, he was like really nitpicky when it comes like to details.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if we're doing like, toothbrush.
Toothbrush.
Yeah. If we're doing a toothbrush, he would like us to maybe like count how many.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
how many bristles are on there?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He was that kind of like nitpicky,
right?
Then was kind of like frustrated at some point, but I can't deny that I learned a lot about like observation and like my perception skills like grew a lot over there.
Yes,
and at the same time, I like I said, I was enjoying like the artistic part of it.
Well, that's the thing about doing look dev, right? Is because it's the point where you turn something and make it look real. So you're constantly comparing it to reality. So you're constantly looking at nature and seeing, does what I do look like nature?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and one cool thing, I always like try to understand how it works to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like how plastic works to look like plastic. Why plastic look like plastic? Yep. Why
does a gummy bear look like a gummy bear?
Yeah.
Right.
Over there, I like helped me a lot to understand, like to have to grow that kind of like mindset.
Okay.
And at the same time, I started to see like some character work on like at the time it was CG Society, it was the biggest one at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I had to look up. That's cool. Maybe someday I will try that.
Okay.
And I started like by little doing like some character work for personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I didn't have a good computer at my place.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to like or work like start to leave late the office or like arrive really early
mm-hmm.
on the office so I can like use the computer for personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when I did my first character, it was like a group of like booleans and like just right. like a ball of booleans and FFDs modifiers.
Right.
And I posted on the society and I just got like a single comment that was, you shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Like, oh, that's so mean.
Right. Right.
But I use that like as a motivation, like, you're wrong. I'll prove you're wrong.
Right.
And then I started to try like more and more. And one like thing that I discovered that, okay, if that makes me, because I want to end early, like quick, because I would do more and more characters.
Because mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, after like 3 days working the character, I got bored of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what helped me to keep the focus on it was to do things that I like it.
Okay.
So, for example, my first character that I really like spent like a month working it, like personal project,
mm-hmm.
was Zero from Mega Man.
Okay.
Yeah, that because I love Mega Man.
All right.
Like, okay, since I love this thing, it's way more pleasant and like enjoyable to spend time with it on it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
it's so sense. Obvious, but I never thought about it at the time.
Do the things you love to do.
Yes.
Right.
So I started like to focus on like fun arts, that what I like.
Mm-hmm.
See, and the cool thing is that after like doing some work, I usually do the most like video games and comics.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. That's defined my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And get a beating by it.
Yeah.
By the bullies at school. But anyway.
Yeah.
And after like doing some like Marvel work that I really like, Marvel, I'm a fun boy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like started to send me emails like, hey, do you want like, we have this character you want to do for us?
Mm-hmm.
We can pay you.
Okay.
It's like, wow.
Wow. Okay.
So that was like the first time that I get in contact with freelancing.
Oh, right. Now, let me ask you this, because this is interesting. A lot of people sometimes when they ended up getting paid to do the things they love, it's not as fun anymore. What do you think about that?
I think you don't have to. I think you can't expect to like every pay work to be like the perfect job.
Mm.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. There's this quote that if you do what you're, if you work with what you love, you won't be working in the day or something like that.
Right.
The truth is if you work with what you love, you won't love anything else.
Right. Right. But you obviously were still doing your own personal projects.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I focus my passion.
Right. So you could still use the skills that you've learned, but you're still able to do your stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if
Ian Spriggs, that's the same thing. I mean, he's a character guy, but he'll go home and he'll. It's like a part of me is like, I can't believe you go home after modeling characters all day long, and then model more characters.
Because it's fun.
Yeah, yeah. But that's great. That's not. I'm not saying
it's fun. For me, it's like it's enjoyable as yeah. like play video games.
Right.
Because I'm learning.
Right.
You know, and no one say, no, I like this different, even like you know it's wrong.
Right. If that's great then.
See?
That's really great.
That's the...
So you learned, so when was your first freelance gig? Let's see, what year are we at now?
Early 2000, 2010. Yeah, 2010. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you start working freelance for this guy, and then you started, and then you continue to work on develop your character skills.
Yeah, at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And working for the advertising company.
And for an advertising company.
Yeah.
They're doing the product stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
someone is taking a picture of us through the glass.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So after that, I moved to another company in Brazil called Techno Image.
Techno Image.
Yeah. It was like another advertising company, but they are more character, like trade.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it's CG characters.
Yeah, they're more focused on CG characters.
For stills animations or?
They are mostly in stills, but they want to migrate to animation.
Okay.
But there was like a small percent of the work, actually.
Okay.
Most of the work was like what paying the bills were still like mm-hmm. products. And over there, it was cool because the first time having contact to 2D artists.
To 2D artists?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because different from like the other companies, they are like fully like 3D driven like
yep.
products. They had like also 2D illustration on their portfolio.
Nice.
Yeah. It was like mind blowing.
Right. Sure.
For example, when I was beginning.
Because the only thing you'd done at this point is 3D.
Yeah. Okay. Fully 3D.
Yep.
And I have like this kind of like line of thinking. It's if you use too much Photoshop on your work, you're cheating.
Oh.
I used to have like that kind of like.
That's
stupid.
That's stupid, yeah.
That's really like small minded.
Right.
And, but I really believe that. I really like, oh, that's not how it works in the real world. You know, because I was working so much with like.
Of course it does.
What?
I take a photograph and I open it up in Photoshop and I fix it.
Yes! Yes! And yeah. I was like so doing so many years like working with like hyper realism like for 3D.
Uh-huh.
Needs to be real, looks real, like mm-hmm. needs to be like physically like based realistic.
Okay.
And you see like two guys with like on Photoshop painting stuff like freely,
mm-hmm.
like cheating lights, just to look beautiful, like to make.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe I need to start like seeing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like one of the biggest like changes on the way I used to think about my work.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, for example, I used to always think of like the pipeline production for characters.
Okay.
And I started to think of like illustration instead of characters.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
final production would be the characters. I mean, the illustration that has a character.
Right.
See, so I don't have like to think about like all the whole pipeline. I have to do the pipeline,
right?
But I don't have to think my focus on the pipeline,
right?
For example, if I do a character, the first thing that I need to worry about is the composition of the illustration,
right?
Not the like the pores of the character,
right?
Not the pores. So
you think of the entire illustration now?
Yeah.
So you saw yourself becoming an illustrator in a sense?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, there was like I was like, and I really enjoyed that part.
Okay.
Think more on the overall instead of like the process
being. And it was because you met these 2D guys that you started
yes.
to open up the door.
That's yeah, I never, I have never saw like a 2D artist before.
Right.
Like only like on like forums, and I was so small minded that when I go like on a website like a 3D photographer or CG site, I never went to like on the 2D galleries.
Right.
I was that small minded.
Right.
When it comes like. Probably because like the way that I learned 3D was focused on like super realistic things.
Right.
And so when I got in touch with those two guys, I should have named them, right? It's Thiago Roizo and Lucas Labels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Credits to the guys open my mind.
Right.
And also Techno Image was starting to do like those characters, and I started to get even more like Techno Image was starting to do like more 3D animation projects.
Okay.
And at the same time I was getting like more freelance like requests.
Okay.
So it came to a point that I had to like make a decision. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm gonna be a freelance. I'm gonna be focus my attention on techno image. Mm-hmm. Gonna do like focus on my personal work. I can't have like everything mm-hmm. and have a life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And at the same time, I got like this Facebook message from a crazy guy from Portugal.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm doing this like event, like CGR event in Portugal. Mm-hmm. Do you want to come in? Like it's join us?
It's
like,
Andre.
Yeah, it's Andre.
Right.
And I was like, well, why not?
Okay. And well, how did he find you?
He said that was so random, actually. According to, if I'm not wrong, he said like, oh, some he used to have like this school in Portugal. Mm-hmm. And he was like bringing people to do master classes over there.
Okay.
And he found like my I think it was my Captain America fan art that I did.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, the people here are crazy about that stuff. Like, do you want to come join us to do like this master class?
Right.
On my school? And it's like, yeah, sure.
Okay.
That sounds like more less scary to like cross the ocean to do.
Right, right.
But at some point he said, okay, I'm not doing the master class anymore. I'm doing this art event. Do you want to join us anyway?
Okay.
Like, yeah, why not?
All right, well, we'll pause for a second because you and I met each other virtually before THU.
Yes.
So you were doing some stuff, some character stuff.
Yes.
And you were using V-Ray.
Yes.
And so you and I would communicate because I was doing the digital human thing. And someone's like, oh, we got this. One of the people in our office here in Sofia said, there's this artist. He's in Sao Paulo, and he's doing this really good character work. And he's got some stuff he's asking about skin shaders. And so you and I communicated back and forth about this. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I saw your work because that was the first time I'd seen your work. I was like, wait a minute, this guy's name is Victor Hugo. This is amazing. I can't wait to see his work. And so I looked at your stuff. I was like, oh, this is... It was really cool to see the caricatures, right? Because the people you're making are not realistic humans
not at
all, right?
Not at all.
They're cartoon characters.
Yeah.
But you use a lot of... Interestingly, did you say that you were obsessed about the hyperrealism?
Yeah.
You use realistic shaders and properties and skin on characters that are not that way.
Yeah. Right?
And that's really kind of an interesting thing. And we were talking about skin stuff. And you were saying, it was like... This renderer does it this way. Is there any way I can do it like that renderer? And I was like, yes. And I was like sort of working you through it. And then when I went to THU, was the first time, I believe it might have been my first time, if not my second time. But I went there, I think it was my first time, and I met you there.
Yeah, it was second THU.
The second THU, right? So you and I were, it was both our first times there. And I was like, oh my God, there's Victor.
No, I was my second time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, my second time. I went to the first THU.
Right.
It was my first time as a freelance.
Oh.
As Victor Hugo, not like a guy from Techno Image.
Oh, okay. All right, so it was the second time.
Yeah.
All right. So I was really fascinated by your work, and I thought it was really cool. And you know, it was you, and then who was the other guy who there's several of them. Jose.
Jose Alves.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, God.
He does great work as well. And,
yes.
And Andrew Hickabotten as well.
Yes.
All those types of... I was exposed to these types of characters. I was like, this is such cool work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
One cool thing that's one of the biggest tutorials that I used to learn characters was tutorials from Jose Alves.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that now makes sense what I need to do.
Yeah.
So I'm like... I would be forever grateful for those tutorials.
Well, it's interesting because he's very well known for his character work too, but he also started in ArcVis.
Yes, right? That's crazy.
So, yeah, so you never would think that an ArcVis person could go into character work, but he can.
There's one cool thing. When I was doing ArcVis, I was a V-Ray mm-hmm. at first. And when I tried to migrate to characters, people are like, no, you don't use V-Ray for that. Use Mental Ray.
Okay.
V-Ray is for ArcVis. If you want to do characters, you go for Mental Ray. I said,
why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because everyone's use it. You need to go to Mental Ray and Maya.
That makes as much sense as saying if you do computer graphics, you need to use a Macintosh. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Yes, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And people were like, no, you need to switch Maya and Mental Ray if you want to do characters.
Okay.
I was like, why?
Okay. But so you still use Macs?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the 3ds Max.
Yeah, but you mod.
I hate sometimes, but mostly I love it.
Right, but you probably switched to ZBrush for a lot of modeling too.
Yes,
right?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved to ZBrush because I wanted to, like, to have the freedom to don't care about like topology.
Yeah. That's a freeing piece of software, huh?
Yes.
So big difference from Booleans and FFDs.
Yes. But I believe my first character that I made, like first one, Zero from Mega Man, was like 100% like polymodeling.
Polymodeling.
Like, it took a while to complete.
In Max.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I'm not wrong, Andrew Hickbottom, he still
does everything in Max.
Yes, that's mind blowing.
Yeah.
He's so fast.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't stop him from slowing down, then why would he do it?
Yes, totally.
Right. Well, that's really cool. So okay, so first time you went to THU, you were still working for the company.
Yeah.
And then you came. So what happened at that first THU? You said something happened. I'm going back to the beginning now. So yeah. We're caught up. We're halfway. We're like halfway through. Perfect. So now you've worked for the company, and something happened at THU that convinced you, I need to do something different.
Yeah. So the first thing that made my mind, I was like, okay, there's so many people, like, there's so many, like, opportunities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the world's so big, you know, like, so many artists, so many people doing things, so many freelancers, artists.
Right.
Like, so they made their, like, living with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was, like, people who actually knew me over there.
Ah.
Like, people knew my work.
Right. Like me when I showed up. Yeah.
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 It's like, okay, so people kind of knew my work.
Right.
You see?
Well, that's a difference, right? Because now you can post your work on the internet, right?
And so, yes.
So tools like CC Society at the time or ArtStation now, which is one of the biggest sites on the internet.
I think it is.
Yeah. By the way, ArtStation kind of, they just started like on the second year of THU.
Yes.
They were like a teeny little thing. It's like, we're going to start this new thing called ArtStation. It's like, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. Sounds great. And I was like, now look at them. Like, whoa.
Yeah, that's huge. I think they're the biggest one. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
It's
and I'm not talking like one of the biggest sites on the internet. I mean, of all of the internet. Yeah. I think it's in the top 600.
Really?
Yeah, of all sites.
Wow.
Maybe even higher.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're competing against like Coke and Microsoft and Apple and Google.
Wow, and ArtStation.
Yeah, so that's really awesome. But that means that there is a huge community out there that's willing to put their work out there and share it with the world. And
then, yeah.
And the top work gets recognized, right? Because of the way that the sites are set up, trending things. It's they know exactly things, what's going on. So your stuff's, you know, like they say, that the cream comes to the top of the milk, right?
Yeah.
So you're the cream at this point, right?
Thank you for that. But yeah, I mean, ArtStation helps a lot to like to show work.
Yeah.
And at the time, like when I came back to Brazil after first CGU, I was like really like pumping up to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
to create things. I remember that I had a talk to my wife about like, okay, I don't want to go to work anymore.
Right.
And, because like Brazil, like it's pretty similar to, São Paulo is pretty similar to LA when it comes to traffic.
Okay.
It's exhausting.
Right.
And so I had a demand to work at home. I wasn't like, I was super tired to be going to the company to work,
mm-hmm.
and we sit down and decided to, okay, let's go freelance.
Okay.
And it was terrifying because the first client didn't pay us like an exact, it took 3 months to get paid.
Right.
So we kind of run out of money in the beginning.
It's not like you're getting a constant paycheck. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So like we learned, okay, we need to have like savings.
Right. Yeah.
That was like our first like lesson
of
every freelance lesson. We need to have savings.
Right.
And after that, there's like start to more clients to appear. Like it's funny because like it's like work attracts work. The mm-hmm. more you do, the more you show, the more you have.
Okay.
It's kind of impressive like how it works by itself.
Right.
You know. One thing that I'm really proud of myself as a freelance, like I can say, okay, I did that. I never sent any mail to a company and said like, hey, this is my work, let me work for you.
Oh, they all came to you.
Yeah, they all came to me.
Right.
That's like, for me, it's one of the things that we really feel proud of.
Right.
As an artist.
But then you never learn marketing then.
No, not at all.
That's a skill you lack.
My friend. So if and someday I need to do like ask people work, I don't know how to do that.
Right. Yeah.
No, I'm lying to say that. I remember that I sent an email to a company.
Uh huh.
When I was like before I became a freelance.
Uh huh.
I was like shooting emails to companies like around the world. See like. What they think.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, they returned me to me. Mm. It was Blur.
Oh.
It took 2 years to get back to me.
Okay.
But it did.
Okay.
And it was like a huge client. It was like a landmark in my freelance career.
Okay. But they hired you freelance then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the same time...
What were you working on at Blur? Can you say?
Yeah. I worked on two projects. One was... Oh, I can't remember the names.
Okay.
Was so many, like, was too
so long ago?
Yeah, as long ago as 2014.
Was it a video game?
Stuff? No, it was two cinematics for video games.
Two cinematics?
Yeah. Or Sky Savers.
Okay.
And the other one was for MOBA.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember the name. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And at the same time, Andre from TGU, he asked me to, okay, I have this idea. Do you want to try something? It was like this project called The Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Andre, I can't animate. I'm not an animator. I have this idea. I can do that way. It was like moving pictures.
Yes.
And I can do that way. Do you want to like try? I said, yeah, go for it.
I thought it was brilliant because I knew you did it. And I said, I don't think I've ever seen any of Victor's work move.
Yeah.
And so what you did was really cool because... You found you created these characters.
Yeah.
There's three of them.
Three of them, yeah.
And they're, let me just give you, I'm going to give the little synopsis if that's okay. It was the manifesto of THU and it was showing three different young aspiring artists that are inspired by things, different things that all want to be some kind of an artist and, you showed their journey going from what they did to coming to THU and realizing that they can turn their passion into something real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And this, to be honest, it's kind of a personal journey for me. Because I can tell. That was happening. Like, I had something and I know that THU could make, like, open my mind. Mm-hmm. That's what it did to me. And that's what, like, my main inspiration for the manifesto.
Right.
And I remember the original idea for the manifesto was like celebration of VFX.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is cool, but it's not relatable.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's a really important distinction because I think that a lot of conferences and talks sometimes, they don't necessarily make something relatable. They'll show you some amazing, crazy thing that they did for Gravity, for example.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's cool, but I can't relate to what you're seeing unless you tell me this was my personal journey towards how I did that.
Yes, totally.
So relatable is a good idea. That's
So that's what I tried to do with the manifesto and work it.
Yay! It did work. Now, here's one of the reasons I think it worked beyond just doing stills because I was like, this is a really clever way of creating an animation from a non-animator. Using characters too, which is also interesting. But you found poses of all of these moments that were moments where they would be still.
Yes.
Right? So like there's a moment where one of the kids is playing a video game and he's got his mouth open like he's in shock. And you're like, oh. And you just pose that moment. You don't have to animate. I mean, that's it. Right?
Yeah.
And then all you did is you had the person and then you slowly moved the camera as like a little parallax change and you could see a slight change in the face.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. I was like, oh, brilliant. Brilliant. And you basically told the whole story and then it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
And it was like some really like, the crazy things that the time to do that was really, really short.
How long did you have?
A month.
A month.
Yeah.
Rendered in V-Ray, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. a lot of workarounds mm-hmm. to make it work. Mm-hmm. And people like it. It was really good.
It's really good. I think they still show it.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. No, they don't show anymore because they have Greg.
Oh, right. They have Greg.
Yeah, they have Greg now.
Right.
And I think another one shows something more upbeat.
Right.
So Greg is the perfect fit for it.
Yeah.
And so on the second CGU was kind of defined because like it's gave me the confidence.
So when you went to the second THU, you had gone freelance at that point.
Yeah.
And you had confidence at that point. Or did you not have confidence?
I still don't have it. But
okay.
I was super like insecure about like, because Andre had, okay, let's put you on the main stage, talk about the manifesto. No, Andre.
Right.
There's like some really crazy people over there. Uh-huh. You know, some like Lord of the Ring crazy people.
Right.
And I don't want to put me on the main stage.
So you were not on the main stage. You were on the main stage.
I was on the main stage, yeah. He insisted. And it was super cool because like, people like went to the talk and like interacted. Mm-hmm. It was like super nice moment.
Right.
And I also like made contacts, professional contacts. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And the single thing you actually, I guess, was important for me to, like, give me the confidence to like, follow this path as a freelance.
Right. And also to start speaking about your work publicly.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Like, this is like, hey, this is me, Victor Hugo.
Right.
Like, look at my work.
Well, you've got such a distinct style, especially in your own personal work, right? It's a Victor Hugo style. You know what it is? And it's very fun and it's great. You know, like, I still have the Hermione rendering you did for my daughter. Remember that?
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's really great. And I mean, you've done such great styles and you have such great stories and you take popular culture and you make it your own. And I think that's kind of a really wonderful thing because it's just, you know, it totally, you know, you'll do a Captain America or do whatever. Or who was the kid you did who was a kid on a subway? Something like
it's
that?
It's me, actually.
Yeah. It's you,
it's
right?
It's a self-portrait.
It's a self-portrait. So it's you on a subway as who?
As me, as myself.
But, okay.
It's 100% self-portrait.
Right. That's so good. So good. I love the thing is when you see that kind of stuff, there's some great people who do stuff that's very inspiring there. It's not always like dramatic character work, right? Because, I joking around, I love Art Station, I do. But sometimes I call it the Chicks with Swords station.
Yes.
Because that's all it is. It's just girls in metal bikinis holding giant swords. And that's not what it is, you know?
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And sometimes I'm like, I want to look at some renderings and go like, it makes me smile. Now, you know what I mean? And I look at your work and I look at Jose's work and I look at Andrew's work, for example, and I say, that's it. What, it's amazing how this one caricature can just tell so many stories and have so much interesting stuff, right? You know, like, if look at the Hermione, like, she's not happy.
Yeah.
She's got that face on, the cat is not happy, and she looks like a badass at the same time and a little girl at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the hair is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And so, like, so I think that there's some of that stuff where you can basically tell a story in a single still. And it's got to be fun to do that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I believe like storytelling is something really, really important. And some people, storytelling.
Yeah.
And some people like, they really like just, some people don't just ignore it because they want to like focus on the, like the show off their technical.
Right.
Aspect.
Right.
And for example, one thing that I learned when I was at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the story.
Don't get too fast to Disney. Let's figure out how you got to Disney.
Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Okay.
Thing that I did, I think it was the coolest thing that I learned over there was like storytelling through Look Dad.
Yes. I'm sure.
For example, like everything's, every object, every shader has like a reason to be that way.
White,
for example, scratches. Uh-huh. We have the Subtense Painter, mm-hmm. and it's pretty easy to people just like overdo like dirt and like chip damage,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes like some kind of pointless chip damage.
Right. You're doing it just to, because you can.
Yes.
Right.
Not because like there's a reason to be there.
Right.
You know, just like, oh, it's there. Like, oh, you can have like an easy way to do like this. Let's just put this everywhere.
Right.
You know,
it makes sense. It
doesn't work that way.
I mean, I did a podcast with the other Chris Nichols, who's at Digital Domain, and he did a lot of look dev on Thanos, right? So Thanos, he was talking about, you know, there's a thing where he did where when he's handling the dagger to the girl,
uh-huh.
and you see the close-up of his hand, right? And there's so much detail in there. But everything has a story, right? He goes,
yes.
I like his nails are that way because he's a warrior. And he has a scar here because he got this. Like everything has a part of the story.
Yes.
But if you just put a bunch of dirt and a bunch of scars on everything, it's like then you just think he owns a cat, right? Because
yes. Right. And you don't ever like take a shower or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
You never clean things.
Right. So yeah. There's reasons. You have to think about all those reasons. Even if you're using Substance Designer, he's like, hold back or put things for a reason.
Yes, yeah. Like know why are you putting stuff.
Right.
Like know the story about the character or the, for example, when I did, there's this character that did that Storm from X-Men.
Yeah.
And like she has like really specific scars. Like here on her
chin.
Chin.
Yeah.
Nose and forearm.
Uh-huh.
On her biceps. Biceps. Uh-huh. And there's reason because like, when you're fighting someone, you go to the face.
Right.
Every time. You don't go like, oh, let's go for the knee.
Right, yeah. Right.
Maybe the knee, see if they're a really tall person.
Right.
This is why, like, even you can protect your face, you're going to have scars if you are a warrior.
Right.
And it's the same for the biceps.
Right.
You know, it's a protect. They are so used to block.
You block it, yeah.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'll put your block here and you'll get the scar that goes, you can put it together and you have the scar that goes all the way down, right?
Yes.
I'm just for the people to know, I'm putting my bicep in front of my face. And so imagine a big knife that's coming from the top of my head down my bicep and you can follow that scar that from that slash, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's a reason. There's a reason to exist.
Right.
You know? So.
Well, okay. But how did you end up at Disney?
Okay. So third CAGU.
Third CAGU, again.
Yeah, so, again.
Yeah.
They started like this recruiting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to help people in the recruiting line.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Because
so you're volunteering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And to make people like chill, like, because they're super nervous because there was like Disney, Blizzard, Riot.
Right.
All like the big, some really big companies.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like super nervous because like, is there, it's not the usual like to get this opportunity to talk with a recruiter.
Right.
Just to be in line.
So you were like the chill pill before they go.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Making jokes and make people like chill.
Uh-huh.
And at some point there are no lines on some like recruiting.
So, okay.
And just like, okay, let's go there.
Right.
And the first one, but I wasn't planning to get a job at all.
You just were like, let's have a chat kind
of. Yeah.
Okay.
When the main thing I want to know, it's like, why you wouldn't like hire me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And I get this guy at Brian and I said, okay, look at my portfolio and tell me why you wouldn't hire me.
Right. Why wouldn't you hire
me? Well, yeah. And he said, yeah, mostly because like I know you can do stuff that if you ask to, mm-hmm. but you never show it. Your portfolio doesn't show our type of work.
Right.
You know you're capable of, but I won't invest on a visa for you if I'm not 100% sure that I can do it.
Right. I can sort of see the potential, but I don't have a guarantee.
Yes.
Okay,
That's made a lot of sense. I was like,
yep.
Yep. That's made a lot of sense.
Yep.
I want to hire someone because they say they can do something.
Sure. Yeah, especially if you have to invest in a visa.
Yes.
Of course.
And I did the same for Blizzard and Disney.
Uh-huh.
And at Disney, I talked to Paul Briggs.
Yeah.
Such a nice guy.
Nice.
And he gave me like some tips like, oh, you should focus on look dev stuff. It's your like strongest.
It's your strongest.
Yeah. Like you do cool models, but the modelers at Disney, they worked like for like 5 to 8 years.
Right.
We don't need like new modelers any soon.
Right. Right. Right.
So if you want to like, if you any day you want to try Disney, go for look dev. It's your stronger point.
Right.
And, or maybe lighting, I don't know. That's mm-hmm. what he suggested. And it's funny thing, at the same point, Lillian, my wife, she was there
mm-hmm.
at THU, and she met a lot of people. She also like hang around. And she met this woman called Dawn Yamazi.
Uh-huh.
And they became friends over there. And I remember that the last day at the, we have like having lunch. And she kind of, oh, what you do? Okay, I'm an artist. I worked on the manifesto and all that stuff. So let me see your stuff.
Okay.
And I was like with my reel for professional clients. And before that she said, okay, I'm a recruiter at Disney. Let me see your stuff.
Okay.
And I got super nervous at the same time.
Right.
Because okay.
Yeah.
And I showed my reel with like my most like professionals, big clients, you know, animated stuff, animation, and big clients. And she looked and said, that's good.
Right.
Can I see your like personal stuff?
Right.
And when she saw like my personal stuff, like, oh, now we're talking. This is what I wanted to see.
Right.
I want to see like your stuff when you do, not when someone tells you to do.
Right, right, right.
Because if like what she explained to me, like if you do something like with someone telling you to do, you know what you can like help the studio, like you can aggregate?
Yeah,
to the studio. Like what kind of talent you can like.
What can you bring to the studio?
Yeah, what can you bring to the studio? Mm-hmm. And I was like, boom, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
And she said, okay, if you want to like try someday, like recruit to Disney, just like send me your reel or I can review and...
Pass it on.
Yeah.
Got it.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But I never sent it.
You never sent it?
I never sent it. I was like so happy with my freelance life. Okay, oh, that's cool. But I also had like a couple of letdowns the years before.
Right.
For LucasArts.
Yeah.
And for Digital Domain.
Okay.
Because of the visa.
Right.
It's like, whatever. I'm going to stick with the freelance. I was super happy with it. And
right.
I know that the visa is going to be like a problem.
Right.
Because, I told I didn't go into college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm self-taught. So,
it's hard.
It's hard to get a visa.
Yeah.
You don't have
you need a degree. Yeah. Yep. Very hard.
So I was like, okay, whatever. And when I came back to Brazil a couple of days after, I got an email for another recruiter from Disney.
Okay.
And he said, okay, so people here are seeing your stuff over here, and they want to talk to you.
Okay.
Like, wow.
So this came from the first recruiter, probably.
Yeah, probably. Okay,
right.
And she saw that some supervisors saw my work, and they want like talk to me about it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, sure.
Right. Yeah.
And I made three steps interview.
Mm-hmm.
First one like with the recruiter to check like if I'm not like some kind of crazy person, I don't know.
Right.
The second one was like the technical one.
Uh-huh.
It was fun because they asked like, oh, do you know Maya? I said nope.
Right.
Oh, do you know Linux? Nope.
Yeah.
And rendering? Nope.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm being pretty honest, guys. I don't know. I don't know the tools, but I know the method.
Right.
You know, they asked, so how familiar are you with like procedural work? It's like, totally.
Right.
And working with advertising, you need to be ready to change things.
Right.
So you can like paint everything.
Sure.
It's suicidal.
Right.
And it was a really cool, nice talking because they had like no video at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like playing guess the things that I usually do that to break the ice, you know, to not be like super technical and...
Mm-hmm.
Because I get super nervous on the kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to break the ice. You know, super chill, super fun. And the third one was like to explain how it would be working if I got approved in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And explain like the day of the start and things like that. 15 days after that interview, they contacted me to say, okay, we want to bring you in.
Okay.
Do you want to come in?
Okay.
And I was... Yeah, sure. Totally sure.
Disney, yeah.
Yeah, Disney's like the top like of career for
a lot of people.
Yeah,
especially character work.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And was really really crazy process because they wanted me like to move to US in two months, I guess.
Uh huh.
And we had to get rid of all our furniture because we moved like we. Used to live like on a rented place,
mm-hmm.
so we don't have anywhere to like to put the furniture, everything like that. We had four cats,
right?
And our cats are coming with us,
right?
They are family, so no way we're gonna live in the cats,
right?
And my wife and I, we weren't married at the time.
Uh-huh.
We used to live together for like at the time, like 7 years, but right. we had like married on paper.
Yeah.
So we need to get married for the visa.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. It was really, we married like on the Thursday morning, like where I was like so totally sleepy and like in a bad mood.
Right. Wow.
Because we just needed the document.
Right.
You know, and I moved there. I moved like on December 28th to start on January 2.
Right.
The second, sorry. And I was kind of like surprised because they use Maya, but they don't use Maya at all. It wasn't my first surprise.
Oh, they use Disney Maya.
Yeah.
Right.
For Look Dev, it's just a launcher.
Right. Yeah. It's like that with every studio, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I
thought... I don't actually know how to use normal Maya.
Yeah.
Some of the shortcuts are the same, but all the windows are different.
Yes. And it was cool because I learned a lot of new things, a lot of like new workflow methods.
Uh-huh.
And the most impressive things for me was like the how like impressive, I don't know, I don't have another word, is the like the structure, the company structure.
Mm.
For example, on the first day, the guy told me, oh, so if you have any kind of problem like in the software or your PC,
mm-hmm.
just open the Linux shell and type problem.
Okay.
It's like kind of a prank.
Okay.
And it was true. I typed problem at like 5 minutes, someone came, oh, so what can I help you? I saw that your file like crashed. We recovered that for you.
Right.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
And
you don't get that as a freelancer.
No.
It'd be great to just open a command prompt and write problem and it's like someone magically appears in your house.
Yeah. With a solution.
With a solution, yes.
And but the process there, I worked for the first 2 months at on the like to learn the tools and the pipelines like a trainee.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 2 months.
Now, what were you working on? Can you say?
Yeah, Moana.
Moana.
Yeah, working awesome. On Moana. I worked as a, it was fun because my portfolio is mostly like for characters.
Right.
And I went to environments.
Oh, you're doing environment work.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Look definitely for environment.
So, is your work in the Moana open source thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
It isn't.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. But you were doing environment work.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's like sand in the Moana open.
Yeah.
So there is, yeah. I made a lot of sand in Moana.
Sand?
Yeah, sand. A lot of sand in Moana.
Yeah.
Oh, so many. Oh, God. I still have nightmares with footprints.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I went into production like after two months, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And 2 or 3 months, I can totally recall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy because we started on this like training development program.
Mm-hmm.
And but the work was pretty like for real. There's right. There wasn't like a training, you know, like the stuff that we had to do.
Right.
And we worked like for real,
mm-hmm.
For real in the production, like solving problems and dealing with like really short deadlines because of the production.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got in the production, it was like late in production, like mid to final.
Right.
You know. So. Sorry, I lost my line of sight.
That's okay.
My line of follow. So we went in production, crazy stuff, and crazy deadlines, which means a lot of crunching time.
Mm-hmm.
6 to 8 hours per week, to be more specific.
60 to 80 hours a week. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Standard.
Yeah, I wasn't used to that actually.
Right. Yeah,
and especially when I'm not speaking my language most of the day.
Right,
it's kind of like I had some really like real. Headaches.
But this was the first time you'd gone back to work for a company since you left.
Yes, right. I was freelancing for 2 years.
Right,
and I went back to just for Disney. And at the end of the day, I was having like a lot of headaches
mm-hmm.
because there was a lot of pressure. Since I was like on this talent development thing,
mm-hmm.
Each 3 months we have these reviews,
right?
To see if we're doing fine.
Yep.
And one thing that if you're not doing okay, like not like achieving the standards,
mm-hmm.
They let you go. And since we are like we're under a visa situation, I had like 30 days to go back to Brazil.
Okay,
that's a lot. That's a lot of pressure.
Right.
And so there was kind of like the kind of I learned a lot, but at the same time was really exhausting.
Right.
And ended up that they had some internal situations, and they had to let go a good part of the studio at the time.
Right, I heard about that.
Yeah, and that included all like the new guys.
Yeah, I had friends of mine who were working there too. Same situation.
I think it was like 27% of the whole crew.
Right,
yeah, that was a lot.
And so they chose based on seniority, not necessarily always on the talent.
Yeah.
Okay. Which if they're trying to be loyal to their longtime people, that makes sense.
Yeah. So they let us go.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Brazil.
Okay.
After that, pretty lost.
Yeah.
Because imagine, like, you have like this dream job.
Right.
It's not as you expected.
Right.
Because I had to work way more than what I was doing as a freelance.
Right.
And it's kind of like. As long as you try not to be like an ego person, it hurts your ego.
Right.
It hurts your motivation because you are like, oh, I got it to the top and now what should I do next?
That doesn't mean you can't go back there. If you want to. If you want to.
That was one of the problems.
Right.
It wasn't what I expected.
Right.
I don't say that I was happy to work there. I was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the kind of like career that I expected to myself.
Right.
I didn't want to work like they didn't crunch times in my life.
Got it.
You know?
So even though it was your dream job, it wasn't what you expected. So
yes.
And the stress was high.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the dream was to be like to be in a hit production.
Right.
I didn't know how the work, the job actually would be.
Right.
It wasn't what I expected.
Yep.
So I took a lot of like time to think about like what I wanted next.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that not being there wasn't like the okay. I went to the top and now I lost the top.
Yeah, you haven't failed.
Yeah, I haven't failed like on the
right.
Because it was the first time that a company like let me go.
Right.
I never like faced that kind of situation before.
Yeah, that's it was like it can be hard on your ego.
Yes.
And knowing you. You're very humble. So when that happens, you immediately blame yourself.
Yeah, I blame myself. My problem was like, oh, they're the wrong person. But my problem was like, okay, what is wrong?
What did I do wrong? Yeah.
Why I failed?
You did not fail. You were just not there long enough. You were not there long enough because they kept the people that were there longer. Why is that? Because of your talent.
Yeah, today, I totally understand that.
Right.
But
I get it.
The time was like, lost, I guess. Yeah. And so after like a lot of time thinking and like reflecting about what I should do next, I said, okay, when in my career was like the happiest, like on my whole career?
Freelancing. Yeah.
Let's get back to it.
Yeah.
Like, and not freelancing, not only freelancing, doing personal stuff.
Right.
What motivated me? It was looking like my stuff.
Right. Here's the other thing though. You can't freelance when you're at Disney.
Yes.
If you drew a single polygon, Disney owns that polygon.
Yes.
So you basically had to give that up, which is a big problem for you.
Yeah.
Great. Now we can get back to seeing Victor's work.
Yeah. And the cool thing, I was like back to freelance. I have this friend in Russia who was an animator at that Disney talent program.
Right.
She didn't stay at all. And she came to me and said, oh, so you were also a model, right? I said, yeah, I have this project. It's doing like this short movie with some guys over here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do the characters? I said, yeah, totally.
Great.
To help me out? Okay, sure. Went out to be Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, nice.
I ended up working Blind Spot by accident.
Nice. which short was it?
Blind Spot.
Oh, Blind Spot, right.
Yeah. I did the character and the look dev.
Nice.
The 2D kind of look.
Right.
I did the look dev. And I went back to do like my care, my stuff. Went back to do like comic book characters.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, like 1 year, I think, after getting back to freelance, I got an email from Marvel.
Right.
Yeah, Marvel Comics, and says, okay, so we really like your stuff, and do you want to like try to do some coverage with us? We don't have like the experience in 3D, so but we want to give it a shot.
Nice.
Like, wow. So, oh God.
So Marvel Comics, see?
Yeah.
Ironically owned by Disney.
Yeah. Curious thing, on the email that's, oh, so you, I saw on your website that you worked for Disney. Is that an issue? I said, no, I don't work for them anymore.
Right. Nice. Awesome. Awesome. Listen, unfortunately, we don't have a few minutes left. Because we'll get by probably about 5 more minutes because we've actually gone over an hour, and I want to make sure we cover a few more things. So, your journey, first of all, we have tried to do this podcast for many years.
Yeah.
I'm glad we waited because now we could get a much more interesting story as we came along and hear about your Disney situation. And now you doing stuff for Marvel Comics is amazing. I'd like to be able to put some of that stuff on the podcast page so people can see some of that stuff. You're here at Total Chaos, which is awesome. You're able to do stuff. We are keeping you busy, my friend.
Yes, that's so cool.
Yes, you're doing. You just did a masterclass. You're now doing the podcast. You're going to do a talk, and you're going to be on a THU panel as well.
Yes.
So we're keeping you very busy, which is great. Where are you going after this? What are you seeing? Do you just want to keep doing the stuff you will love to do?
Yes, right now, what I'm going to do next, I think, I'm getting more context. For example, last month, I just finished a gig for Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Like, so gaming.
Yeah.
It's a key art for a game.
Yeah.
So it was like, woo!
Yeah.
It's super cool. Like, yeah, that, the cool thing about being a freelancer right now for me, it's that I started to get jobs. Like, I started to be able to pick up, like, which one I want to work
on. Yeah. You get to pick and choose.
Yes.
But you're doing it as you, not as an employee, right?
Yeah.
And you get to stay in Sao Paulo.
Yes, and I can work like...
And you don't have to deal with traffic either.
Yes! I can work for like for Marvel and then for Ubisoft and like learn a lot of like new things. And I don't have like to, oh, I can't do that because my company don't allow me to do, you know? Like, I have the freedom to know a lot of different experiences in places and like studios.
Right.
So for me, this is like the perfect situation.
Awesome.
I don't see myself like going back to my studio so soon.
Well, it's great because now you got to experience it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that you know where that job leads, and I think the journey you've taken is such a great journey, and you've learned all this stuff along the way. You've learned about, you know, you learned the fact that you know when your dad first gave you 3DS Max or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You learned that
was R2, 3DS Max R2.
Right, and you said you may actually like doing that.
Yeah. Right. I never thought of all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think like professionally speaking, it's for me, I'm like on the right spot that I want it to be.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, I'm saying that I don't want to work in a far company anymore. Maybe, I don't know, 5 years from now, I can change my mind.
Clearly.
One thing that I keep in mind that I can't be like, oh, this is going to be like forever.
Right.
But right now, it's great.
Right. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, it's really cool. I think your work is amazing.
Thank
I love the kind of stuff that you do. So I'm really glad you're here also for Total Chaos, which is great. Sophia, wait till you see the opening tomorrow. It's going to be crazy. And awesome.
This is awesome.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.